I've been thinking quite a bit about the time of year that we are in. The beginning of a new year, I've been thinking about that, thinking about time itself, the time that God has given to each one of us for a moment, for this time here on earth. This morning I'm planning to take the message from Ephesians 5, where it says, Redeeming the Time, and that is the title. I will be turning to that, or you can turn to that now if you care to. I won't be reading that scripture quite yet. Turn to those verses in a bit. First of all, I want to think about time and the fact of it moving on. Today is January 9, 2022. When we get to this time of the year, it is normal for us to think back. It's natural for us to reflect. And I believe we should. I believe it is good for us to do that. I think God uses things that have happened to speak to us. And as I was thinking back, considering, especially in relation to our congregation, my mind went to things that have happened in the last year. Not just here, but relating to two people here. I'm sure that I did not think of them all. But there have been the passing of loved ones, of friends, in the past year. There have been deaths that have affected us, relatives, friends from other places. We had a wedding here in our congregation. There have been weddings that some have attended. There's been sicknesses. I'm sure there have been sicknesses. Possibly there have been some in hospitals. There has been healing. Just a lot of things. There has been safety from things that could have been much worse. I suppose that there have been financial gains and financial losses. There were probably sins committed. There has been sin confessed, forgiven, restoration found. This morning there is one thing that we all have in common. Every one of us has had a birthday in the last year. We are a year older than we were the previous year. We have gotten older. We are aging. We have gotten one year closer to our death. Time moves on. It continues to do that. There is one sure thing about time, and that is it just keeps going on and on. It is no respecter of persons. It does not matter if you're having a good time or a bad time. It does not matter if you are in tremendous pain, or you're in love, or you're depressed, or you're grieving. Time goes on. It keeps moving steadily on. That is the nature of life and time as we know it. Never speeding up, never slowing down, but always moving and dragging and pulling. I don't know if those are the right words, but pulling us towards eternity. And so as you reflect back on the last year, you don't have to think too far before your thought is, what will the next year be like? What will the next year bring? You can't help but wonder what lies ahead for the next year. What will the landscape of this congregation here look like in a year from now if Jesus does not return? Will I be here? Will you be here? Will our children be here? Our husband, our wife, our parents. Will someone of our loved ones be snatched away? That's a thought that can be and is at times in the back of our minds. Will our time be over? It's a sobering thought, and in some ways, you know, it can strike fear into our hearts as we think about it. We don't know. And I believe that God, in his mercy, does not show us the future. He keeps that from us. But this morning, for the Christian, for the child of God, we have a rest. I'm thankful for that rest, the rest that we can have in Christ Jesus. A brother sent me this morning a verse that had that in there about rest, finding our rest in Christ Jesus. And I appreciated that and thought that fit well here again with some thoughts that I had. But we as children of God can find rest. We have a rest. We can have a peace in resting in God for the future. We think of other things that can happen on a church level. And one thing is a fact. One thing that we need to remember is that we have an enemy. This morning we do. We have an enemy, and he is busy. We have an enemy that is doing his best right now to get into our brotherhood right here and destroy it. That's a fact. That is real. He is busy. And the question I ask is, will there be a falling away from the faith? Will there be? Where will we find ourselves? Romans chapter 12, verse 12. You don't have to turn to that. I have it written down here. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the seat of the devil and of the seal of the devil. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the seal, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. This morning the devil knows that the time is short. He understands the urgency and the shortness of time that he has to work with. And I see it about us. It just feels to me. It seems like the devil is going on overtime, if you please, on trying to destroy the church of Jesus Christ, because his time is short and he knows it. He understands the urgency and the shortness of time that he has to work with. Do we understand that? Do I understand that? I want to read a few verses in Romans 13. You can turn with me there. Romans chapter 13. To read verses 11 through 14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So as we think of time, ever since the creation, when the world was created, time has been in motion. God created day and night. He created the sun. We have summer. We have winter, springtime, and harvest. Our lives just go in this circle. We can't imagine a world without time. Our life revolves around that. Our life revolves around schedule and time. We don't even think about it. Every day, it's just the same thing. It's time to get up. It's time to eat breakfast. It's time to go to school. It's time to go to church. It's time to go to work. It's time to go home. It's time to go to bed. We are always on the march of time. But you know, there is coming a day when time will be no more. When those things that I just said won't happen, time will be no more. Like the song says, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. I'm looking forward to that time. To me, that is just an amazing thought to think about. I'm longing for that time. Seems like the older I get, the more that becomes real to me of longing for that time for deliverance from this time of struggles and perplexities in life. I believe that is, we need to think about that, the step from time to eternity. We are all headed there. It is because of that reality that time and the use of our time, is so important. God has set a timer for each one of us, and it's ticking. It's ticking. It continues to tick. We don't know how many minutes are left on it. It is counting down. We don't know when our timer will go off. And am I just, as I pondered this, these things came to me, I just wondered, am I really living in that sense of urgency of the time? That's a burden I have for myself and for each one of us. You know, whether we die today or whether we live to be 70, 80, 90 years old, life is short. James 4, verse 14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You think about that. Just a poof, and it disappears. You know, that is our life, a picture of our life. It hangs in the air for a bit, then it is gone, it is forgotten. Well, I'd like to look now more specifically at the use of our time. What are you doing with the time that God has given you? I don't know. Maybe I've made it sound a bit depressing so far. That certainly is not my desire. That's not my goal, to make life look depressing and hopeless and put us all in the grave. But this morning, I do want to press upon us an urgency to live our lives to the fullest for Christ, and to think about how we are living and not waste it upon ourselves and consume it upon our lusts. Life is going by. It's happening right now. We need to seize the moment and live it to the fullest for Christ. So if you're not there already, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Most of my thoughts now will be coming from this chapter. Just want to read a few verses here. First of all, Romans 5, verses 14 through 16. "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Redeeming here has the thought of to buy back or to rescue from loss. If you can think of it in that way, to rescue our time from loss. No, or not waste our time. One version says, buy up the opportunities. If you think of time as a currency, if you are familiar with money and all the things it can do, but time is our currency that we are spending on eternity. Where will we spend our eternal destination? Quote says this, "The best use of one's life is to spend it for something that will outlast itself." And I like that. I'll say it again. The best use of one's life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. That will outlast your life. Redeeming your time. I found it interesting that the Greek meaning of the word redeeming, as it's used here in verse 16, is the same as it is where it is used in talking about Christ's redemption for us. And I pondered that a bit, and I like that thought. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 talks about Christ having redeemed us. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." And then a little later in Galatians 4, I'm going to read a couple verses there. You can turn with me there. Galatians chapter 4. Verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We have this word redeem here, and it's the same Greek meaning as the thought of redeeming our time. But as you think about that thought a bit, as Jesus redeemed us, we were lost. He redeemed us back to himself, saved us from loss. He rescued us from loss. And as you think of your time, at least as I think of my time, I look back at my life and it feels like, I've wasted so much time. I think for most people that there's probably a certain amount of that we feel, maybe some more than others. We look back with regret. But I think that the thing we tell ourselves so often subconsciously is that we have time to make it up. We'll make up for it. Yes, I've not done so good. No, I'm not doing good maybe right now, but I will get there. I have time. I will make up for it. And the average will average out to be good. I will do better the next time. I will be more faithful next year. You know, these New Year's resolutions where we determine to do better. Well, what happens? But what if my life ended now? What if my life ended today? If that would happen, what was my life worth? If I was put in the grave this next week, what was my life worth? Has it been worth being born for in the kingdom of God? Are we being profitable servants, or are we just wasting our time on ourselves and a good life on things that will not matter? He says here, awake, awake, quit sleeping, quit wasting your time, rescue it from loss before it is too late. Think about that thought. As he got to the middle of the chapter there in Ephesians 5, and he said that. I'd like to go back now and read the first part of Ephesians. Paul is talking to the Ephesians and to other churches. He's talking to us. I think the first part of the chapter is so much on how not to spend our time. He talks about how you were at one point and now you shouldn't be that way. You need to redeem your time, make up for lost time. And so let's go back to the first part of Ephesians, same chapter, and I'm going to start reading in verse 1 and read to the verses that we already read. And think about that thought and the things, how not to live, and the things that we should not be doing with our time. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 16. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I would just like to look at a couple of things that are mentioned in this chapter that I believe are relevant to today. That are there are enemies, there are robbers, there are things here that are relevant to us that are enemies, that are leeches to the time that God has given to us of redeeming our time. Verse 3 starts out here with a list of things that I believe rob us or are robbing God of the time that he's given to us for him. They're leeches of our time. It mentions fornication and uncleanness. I think we understand right away that this is a poor way to spend our time. It's very damaging. But the world around us is just saturated with uncleanness and fornication and immorality of all kinds and forms. And when someone gets caught up in that, it consumes so much of their time, not only physically, but mentally. In so many ways, it not only damages that person, but the ripples have far-reaching effect. It goes out to many people. Much time is lost with that. And I think we all understand that. But right in here then, it caught my attention. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness. And then it goes on to say, covetousness. What about covetousness? Covetousness is an inordinate desire for some supposed good, having a keen desire for anything, vehemently desirous. It mentions covetousness twice here, and that stood out to me. Not sure that I really had thought about that before, in verse 3 and verse 5. A covetous man who is an idolater. I think one of the root causes for much wasted time in our society is simply covetousness. You stop and think about that. It drives people. It's a driving factor. It drives people to work in excess. It drives people to spending money. And it is idolatry. That's what it says here. It goes against the very heart of God. It is a direct enemy of God. It is in opposition to God. I think that our country and our culture is geared to cater to that covetousness that is within each of us if we don't deal with it. People spend their time and their lives working and going after things, clothes, houses, money, pleasure, you name it. Our whole life is caught up in that. The time and the money spent is wasted. My mind went to a quote that I believe it was Kirvin Kreider gave when he was here. The quote that he said this, anything that has no eternal value is eternally useless. And there's a lot of truth to that. Anything that has no eternal value is eternally useless. There's a verse in Psalm 10, verse 3, that I thought was interesting. Psalm 10, verse 3 says, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. Think about that. I think it speaks of today. One thing about covetousness is that it is contagious. I believe it is very contagious. I think it gets real close. I think it gets real close to home sometimes. This Psalm 10, verse 3, verse here. I'm not here to say what all is right and what is wrong. But I think a lot of our lives, if we are not careful, can be spent in admiring the latest thing, the latest tool, the latest tractor, the latest pickup, the latest material, the latest, you name it. And if we are not careful, our whole life is subconsciously geared and spent in an effort to obtain this, to obtain that, the drive to do that. And it's covetousness. It works against the kingdom of God in redeeming the time that he has allotted to us. The pursuit of things instead of the pursuit of God. Instead of provoking one another to good works, as the Bible says, we provoke each other to covetousness. And I think we do well to think about that. When we do that, we waste much time. And the whole time, time is continuing on. We're moving on towards eternity. Verses 6 and 7 say, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Referring back to Ephesians there again. "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." A couple of other verses that I see in this chapter are verses 11 and 12. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of these verses here, but I have often thought of these verses in relation to, well, in relation to the news. They could fit to gossip, but if you think about it, think about what the news of today is in general. What is it? Well, it's exactly this. Much of the news is digging into someone's life, and they love to do that. They try to find some sin or some embarrassment, some politician, some person, some religious group, talk about it and dissect it. They chew it. They regurgitate it and chew it again. That's what news is so much about. And somehow, I don't know, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but somehow we feel justified to stay all abreast of it because it's the news. Now, I want to be clear. I do read the news some. I probably shouldn't keep track of it as much as what I do. But I don't think all news is wrong. I'm just making the point that I think we need to be very careful how much time we spend reading the news. How much of our time, we're talking about redeeming the time, how much time do we do that? There is so much filth. Hardcore, sinful news is what gets the attention of people. It appeals to the flesh. It appeals to our curiosity, not to mention the immodesty that goes along with it all. I think it has an unconscious, desensitizing effect upon us. And that is not even mentioning our main point here of wasting our time. Even if it didn't necessarily have a real negative effect, spending all that time reading the paper or reading it on the computer can take up so much time that can be spent doing something worthwhile and upbuilding. So often we hear of the struggle to find time for Bible reading, to read our Bibles and pray like we should. Could it be that there is an appetite problem? And that we need to get on our knees and we need to ask God to revive us and to help us to redeem our time? Just some things to think about. Think about seriously. I've had to do that and I continue to do that. I think of the technology that we have at our fingertips today. We've been talking about some of that in the past, but I believe that technology as a whole is a real danger for many, many wasted hours. It is a blessing. It can be a blessing. Yes, it certainly can. Technology can certainly be that. What about online browsing and shopping, computer games, social networking? I think we need to be honest about these things. Honestly, look at them. And I'm thankful that we have addressed many of these things. We need to help each other. We need each other to help us be honest about these things in our lives. What are we really doing? What are you doing with your time? How much time are you spending? Is there good coming out of it? What kind of influence is it making on your life as you are involved in these things, thinking still on the thought of technology? Or is it just a leech that is slowly sucking the lifeblood out of us? I believe the devil has a lot of different tactics. Again, he knows his time is short, and he's doing his best. He's doing the best he can to take us down. We often think of him as the roaring lion that is out there to get us into some deep vice, sin, murder, adultery, some addiction of some kind, and that is true. The devil loves to have his people there. But another thing that I think the devil is satisfied with is simply if we are poor stewards of our time, if he can get us there. Maybe we're not doing a lot of bad things, but we are just wasting our time away. You know, we all have our set times that we have to go to work. We all need a certain amount of sleep. We all need to eat. We have our things that we need to do each day. But all of us probably have a section of time that is somewhat flexible. We can make it somewhat flexible. Leisure time. You can do with it what you want. I think some of those hours will make the difference whether we are a mediocre, lukewarm person or a person with power in our lives. Those specific times, what we do with those, I think those minutes and those times can be the changing factor of the kind of person that that you and I end up being, which ultimately leads to eternity and where we will find ourselves. So often we get up in the eye, you know, up. We get caught up in the idea of, well, what's wrong with it? Is there really anything wrong with it? I do, and have done that very thing as well. I think that at times. Well, I think we need to be very careful of that, because I believe we can pack our day full of things that there is nothing wrong with them, but there also is just no good in them. And they are replacing things that we should be doing with our time. Okay, I want to move on and look at the last part of these verses here. Thinking of redeeming our time, we looked at some things that are robbing our time, and I want to look at some ways that we can redeem our time. Verses 17 through 21, reading on here, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." I think if we could boil it down and we could get a hold of one thing in the Christian life besides the new birth, and being the most effective way of redeeming our time, is in verses 17 and 18. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." We can redeem our time to the fullest. To understand what the will of the Lord is and to be filled with the Spirit. That is, I really believe that is the way to redeem our time to the fullest. Those two things, understanding what the will of the Lord is, seeking that, finding it, and understanding it, and to be filled with the Spirit. Do we really want to understand what the will of the Lord is in our lives? So often we say that, but so many times we have this attitude that, well, we really mean that we want the Lord to understand our will. We want the Lord to bless my will. We want the Lord to give his stamp of approval on my will. Are we really open to understanding the will of the Lord for my life and the changes that may bring? There is a big difference. We need to surrender our will to do his will. In order for God to show us his will, our will, first of all, needs to be surrendered to his will, taken to the foot of the cross and surrendered to his will. Why should he show us his will if we have already decided the course that we are taking? Why would he show us his will? And it says, being filled with the Spirit. And I think that this is one that we often, we quietly wonder. Nobody wants to ask many questions. Maybe we are a little unsure or scared of this subject. I understand that. And I want to say that I'm not by any means claiming authority on it, but I would like to mention a couple of things that I believe about this. We have this word here that says filled. I believe it does refer to the thought of replenish or to be continually filled or to fill again. I think it is a dangerous thought to think that somewhere back there at age 13 or whatever it was, I was born again, and the preachers told me that I got the Holy Spirit. And so I just go on in life. I believe if you were born again, truly born again, you did have the Spirit. That's right. I believe that. But I also believe, I think that there is a continuation in it. It's not just back there, that one-time experience when we gave our heart to the Lord, but there is a continuation in that, being filled with the Spirit. I think we should pray every day that the Holy Spirit would be in our lives, would fill our lives. I think that is so important in making the difference in how we use our time, being filled with the Spirit. Then we have verses 19, 20, and 21. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There are a couple of things that I want to mention here that I think are really important, and that is, number one, giving thanks always. I think that is so important. I think it is so important to redeeming our time is to be a thankful person. A thankful person. A thankful person is the opposite of what we just talked about a bit ago about a covetous person. When we are thankful, when we are contented with the things that we have, and we're not driven by that drive to go and chase and spend time and money trying to fill the void in our lives, but to be thankful. Thankful in all things. And then submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That, to me, speaks of humility. To give up my ideas for someone else's ideas, to work along. This is not a fun or popular thing, but I believe that it is a condition and a fruit of being filled with the Spirit. I really believe that. So as we think of redeeming our time, God has placed us upon earth in this era of time. For some reason, God chose to place you on earth in this specific time. Let's remember that time is our currency. Let's spend it wisely and carefully each day. We do not know when our timer will run out. We do not know that. We do not know when we will step from time into eternity. I'd like to close with a few verses. Sometimes we may think of this as a scary, terrible, worst-case thing that could happen in the flesh. Or in the flesh, we resist death, and we feel sometimes it feels scary to us. But I think there is a side that if we are walking with the Lord, there can be almost a sense. There is a sense or a longing, in a sense, for eternity. But I think I think we do well to think about that. And I just want to read a few verses to encourage us in that, in closing, to press toward that final goal. Turn with me to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. I'd like to read verses 1 through 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Let's kneel for prayer.